Recently, when I was in America, I started giving a series of talks commenting on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Prakrita Rasa Shatadushani, the 100 refutations of mundane mellows which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur composed, finding himself in the midst of so much Sahajiaism in Bengal, and seeing something like that going on in the Western world in particular, and in India also, as ISKCON's preaching spreads, Vaishnavism becomes more well-known in the Western world, more people are taking it up, and many people are taking to it with this same kind of misguided attitude that caused Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to compose this poem. So I'm going to continue after quite some time to comment on the verses of this poem seriously, while cultivating spiritual life, Krishna consciousness in this material world, we must always be alert to distinguish the material from the spiritual. Philosophically and in the realm of emotions, feelings, insights, realizations, maybe hallucinations and imaginations. Maya fools us into thinking that the material is spiritual. This is a major cause of downfall, which we might not even recognize as downfall. Sometimes the most depraved practices are lauded as being the highest spiritual practices. This was a phenomenon that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to address. But even more subtly, we may not properly distinguish between mundane love, mundane sex. Many people think that sex is spiritual if it's done between two consenting partners who are in love. The beauty of nature is spiritual. In one sense you can say that, but it's a perverted reflection of the real spirituality of the spiritual world. I'm just going to backtrack a little bit to the two verses which I commented on in the last talk. I've got a little more to say about that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Nija bhoga kame bhakta prem kabu balena roshe daga moga acho shishe guru balena. A genuine devotee never states that selfish enjoyment of one's senses in mundane lust is tantamount to prem. We may think like that. Oh, glorious spiritual sex. No. A bona fide guru does not tell his disciple, you are absorbed in the mellows of divine rasa. So it's not a guru's business to artificially praise his disciple and tell the disciple you're there when he's not there. The next verse, Roshe Daga Maga Ami Kabu Guru Balena Jorya Roshe Kata Shishe Guru Balena. Also, the guru doesn't promote himself and say, I'm a highly elevated, full of bliss, I'm on the topmost platform. He doesn't go around advertising himself as a topmost devotee. We see even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many instances when Prakashananda Saraswati said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I'm an ordinary jiva. I'm not God. Sometimes he did say he's God, but he wanted to set the position of an acharya who doesn't go around. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The topmost devotees are topmost devotees, but they don't advertise it so that others might imitate them. The guru is aware. Someone who is fit to instruct must be aware of the difference between that which is material and that which is spiritual. In the realm of tattva, in the realm of understanding, of seeing what is in this world, tattva and siddhanta, philosophy is the common words we use in English, and in the realm of rasa also. Otherwise, we might see that someone is crying in tears, in kirtan. It doesn't automatically mean that they're on the topmost level of devotional service. It can mean that they're getting some special mercy from Krishna, to help them strive, go on, get a little taste to go on in their efforts to come to the topmost platform. It can mean that they're making an imitation of that, and that's particularly what Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur and before him, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and before him, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had pointed out, that there are imitationists also. So it's understood that the disciple becomes a disciple because he doesn't have a very well-developed sense of understanding and needs to be taught. So the guru's duty is to make the disciple aware of what is real and what is false. Definitely if the guru speaks on material rasas, he can't help the disciple. In Krishna consciousness, we're dealing with feelings, emotions, we're talking about love of Krishna. There are many love poems which might seem to be expressing the same mood as those of pure devotion. In Bengal, where Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur was mostly preaching there, the culture, the Vaishnav culture, was saturated with so much poetry about the loving feelings between Radha and Krishna. But without training, people hearing this may consider it to be just like their own emotions that they have, male-female feelings. And of course, apart from the Vaishnava poetry, there's also mundane poetry. Bengalis, even to this day, they very much highly regard as some of the most outstanding Bengalis, some of their poets. Rabindranath Tagore, his name is very well known. There are others also. Qazi Nazrul Islam is also very famous. So for those who are not trained, it's hard to distinguish, but if we don't distinguish, disaster. And that brings us to the next verse of this Prakriti Rasa Shatadushani. Jaro Rasa Gane Kabu Shreya Keha Labhena Krishna Ke Prakriti Bali Bhakta Kabu Gaina. No one has ever attained the ultimate benefit by glorifying mundane mellows. There's so many love poems. glorifying mundane mellows. Continuing this translation, a genuine devotee never proclaims that Krishna is mundane. That's another major mistake, that people, they like to hear about Krishna, but they think that, well, Krishna is mundane, just like Krishna has loving feelings, and it's just like me. Prakrita Karya Mane Vishnu Kalebar Vishnu Ninda Nahi Eha Upar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that to take the deity of Krishna, Vishnu, or the form of Krishna, the body of Krishna, to be a material product, there's no higher criticism, no higher blasphemy than this. So what we have is that the Mayavadis, they equate that which is spiritual, Krishna's transcendental form, with the material. Of course, not everyone who does that is a deeply learned Mayavadi, but it's an influence of Mayavad philosophy to think that Krishna's transcendental form is mundane. And the Sahajiyas think that their material bodies and their material feelings of lust are spiritual. And it comes to the same thing, equating the mundane with the spiritual, or equating the spiritual with the mundane. In this regard, we are instructed by an episode which we find in the Antilila, 5th chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where a poet from Bengal had written a drama about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, almost to a man, found to be very enlivening, beautiful, and insightful. Sri Damodar Goswami found from the very first verse the Mayavad infection, that the poet, although he had expressed in very ornamental language mellows of love, feelings, he had made the basic mistake of thinking that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is different from his body. So in this regard, Jodda todda kobye bake hoy rasha bash Shidhanta viruddha shunite nahoy ulash. In the writings of so-called poets, Srila Prabhupada translates Jodva todda kobi. It's not really translatable fully. In the writings of so-called poets, there's generally a possibility of overlapping transcendental mellows, rasa bhash. Means you don't understand what is the science of rasa, but you want to imagine that you do. When the mellows, the rasa, thus goes against the conclusive understanding, siddhanta, no one likes to hear such poetry. If we hear such things, we don't become happy. About Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita elsewhere, Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha Arashabhash Shunile Nahoi Prabhur Chitte Ulash. Any teaching that is against the proper conclusion of devotional service, or any mixed up, messed up presentation of rasa, the literature presenting the transcendental feelings of Krishna, if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to mess it up. And then what happens? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not at all happy to hear such things. In the next verse, after the Jodda Todda Kobir verse, Sri Damodar Goswami continues, Rasha Rasha Bhash Ja Nahik Bicha Bhakti Shidhanta Sindhu Nahi Pai Pa a so-called poet who has no knowledge of transcendental mellows and the overlapping of transcendental mellows cannot cross the ocean of the conclusions of devotional service. And even to unpack that verse is practically an ocean of bhakti siddhanta. Even to unpack the term bhakti siddhanta is a whole ocean of understanding. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Joro kabarosho nahi kabarosho kalipabana gora rosho hirosho alamanya kata dhyanushila naya bhaja godrumakana na kunja bidham. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the taste of mundane poetry never provides the sweet taste of actual poetry. Actual poetry is that which praises Krishna in the way that is in accord with Krishna's actual feelings. Why isn't it good? Well, I like that poetry, but Krishna doesn't like it. Doesn't count. Bhaktivinoda Thakur continues, the sweet mellows of true poetry are verily found in descriptions of Lord Gaura, the savior of all souls in the Kali Yuga. The diligent study of all other topics is useless. Just worship the beautiful moon of Godrum's forest bowers. Now I'm going to read a quote from Chaitanya Shikamrita of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, translation in English. The book is written in Bengali. Just putting it very clearly. So we're talking about here, commenting on the verse where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is differentiating between songs which expound on mundane mellows, mundane feelings, and that brings us to think, well, what is the real thing? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur puts it very simply, spiritual rasa is excellent, material rasa is despicable. Yes, despicable. Love, despicable in this material world. The spiritual rasa's subject is Krishna, and its shelter is the soul. Material rasa's subject is beauty, which is actually the ugliness of a material body, and the shelter is the contaminated material heart. Because our heart is contaminated, we are attracted to mundane romance. The very nature of spiritual rasa is bliss, and the nature of material rasa is material happiness and sorrow. Sukha and dukkha, they go together. Continuing, rasa displays its characteristics, necessary ingredients, and rules of operation to the conditioned soul through the distorted, impure reflection of rasa discussed by the scholars, taking the form of relationships and exchanges between hero and heroine, father and son, friend and friend, and master and servant. So this corresponds to what we call madhur rasa, vatsalya rasa, sakya rasa, and dasya rasa. Though the supreme blissful essence is distorted, the essential qualities and signs are all evident even in the material world. In other words, it's very similar. It's a perverse reflection. It's all there. It's the same kind of feeling. In this material world, the feelings of affection of the son for the father is similar to that of, say, Pradyumna toward Krishna in the spiritual world is very similar, and the modes of behavior between the father and the son. But one is real and one is perverse. Those who hear about rasa and desire to develop their own rasa should remember that they should not allow the despicable nature of material rasa to enter into their practices. Some groups, under the guise of producing spiritual rasa, resort to material rasa and consequently deviate from the correct path. In this way, the soul can fall from his position. Rasa can only be produced in the spiritual body of the soul and can never be produced from the material body of a conditioned soul. There is the whole Sahajiya Sampradaya in Bengal, there are so many of them in Navadvip town, who think that sex between a man and a woman is the proper way to understand the feelings of Radha and Krishna. It's very low. It's a very low representation of that which is very high. Now I'm going to read. This is going to be a long excerpt from the Prema Vivarta of Jagadananda Pandit, chapter 16, in which is discussed the nature of divine love. Rasa is on the platform of divine love, real rasa. Material rasa is simply the perverse reflection. So, in Prema Vivarata, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami one day inquired from Sarup Damodar Goswami, "Please instruct me, please give me some idea of the nature of divine love. I am unable to fathom the descriptions of love so sublimely sung by Chandidas and Vidyapati. I extract only the external mundane meanings of love from their songs, which pertain to feelings of attraction between a man and a woman." Generally, our acharyas have not recommended us to listen to these love songs of Chandidas and Vidyapati because it sounds like that of the attraction between a mundane male and female. Raghunath Das, taking the position of a mundaner, asks, "How can such emotions, such as those described by Chandidas and others, be considered spiritual? How can mundane lust be called spiritual love?" Lord Chaitanya is always singing these songs. Remember that Raghunath Das and Sarup Damodar were living in Puri when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living there. So they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the time. And Raghunath Das says that Lord Chaitanya is always singing these songs and relishing their mood with you. But I have no access to such intimate exchanges because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would generally only discuss these topics only with Ramananda Rai and Sarup Damodar. And also Shikhi Mahiti and Shikhi Mahiti's sister. But we don't have any record of that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Raghunath Das said that the Lord has placed me in your hands to be under your spiritual guidance, so please guide me in understanding these confidential truths. Please be merciful to me and explain to me the concept of spiritual love. Dispel my doubts, and I will, of course, be always grateful to you. Sarup Damodar described, "Raghunath, come, let's go to a quiet place, solitary place. These are esoteric topics. To tell the truth," Sarup Damodar says, "that Ramananda Rai, Gadadhar Pandit, and I myself, we can't fully comprehend the spiritual truth that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Recognize our limitations when we try to go up, 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 up. Even Sarup Damodar, Ramananda Rai, they feel they can't understand who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who is his love. Remember that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, who himself is unable to understand the extent of Radha's love for himself. So we shouldn't be so foolish to think that we can rush in where fools rush in, where angels fear to tread. Now, this doesn't matter, that this doesn't mean that the topics of Radha and Krishna are totally off limits for us. But sufficient caution should be exercised before rushing in. So Sri Damodar very humbly says, we don't fully understand, but if Mahaprabhu, Gaurachandra, presides on the tip of my tongue, if he manifests himself on my tongue, then he, through me, can reveal these highly esoteric, transcendental truths about himself by his mercy. Then you will be convinced. If you hear from him, which I will speak, but if he actually manifests himself on my tongue, then you will be convinced of what is the actual truth. Then you will experience ineffable bliss. You should know, Raghunath, Swarup Damodar told him. Know for sure that the songs by Chandidas, Vidyapati, the writings in Krishna Karnamrita, Ramananda Rai's Jagannath Vallabh Natak, they're all Shastra on the highest level. They describe love, but the topics therein, there's not a trace. It's far above, far, far above anything to do with the mundane lust of this world. They are transcendental compositions that, if properly accessed, foster pure love of God. We hear descriptions of men and women, but we shouldn't think that we're discussing about mundane men and women. You must see the transcendental significance, because Krishna is not found in mundane literature that deals with lust. We should know the difference. You can be in a man's body, as Swarup Damodar continues. You can be in a man's body, you can be in a woman's body, but everyone in this world is attached to the bodily concept of life, thinking, I am this body, and everyone is interested in enjoying their senses, either as a he or a she. And as long as we're in that mistaken concept of life, we can never understand spiritual truths. Any guru, someone who's a guru, a representative of Krishna, but doesn't understand that Krishna's transcendental exchanges are pure, on the fully pure transcendental platform. If he doesn't understand these pure loving exchanges, he's not fit to be a guru. It's just a show. His devotion is just a show. He's in the clutches of Maya, and therefore he's an instrument of Maya. Spiritual love of Krishna is what the guru should know and teach. Spiritual love of Krishna is completely pure, free from any mundane contamination. It's like the Ganga. We see the Ganga full of mud and foam. To our vision, the Ganga is always pure. Another example, that love, that prem, Krishna's love, Krishna's loving affairs, it's an unlimited ocean of nectar. An actual devotee's spiritual attachment to hearing about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, loving relationships, and Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras. An actual devotee, he loves to hear about this love. There's no material contamination in the heart of the devotee. His heart is like completely spotless, white linen. Pure love of Godhead is like an ocean of bliss. Just one drop. If we can get one drop of that ocean, it can totally drown the entire universe. Now, of course, when we speak about the ocean of love of God, we're talking metaphorically. So how can it drown the whole universe? It means that one ocean of love of God, one drop from that ocean, is more powerful than all the Maya that there is. Srila Damodar continues, taking the position of a materialist. I am so wretched that I am completely attached to my material body and controlled by lust, so my original form of pure spirit is not manifest. This desire for bodily love, this lust, blinds us. And any opportunity to understand spiritual love is completely lost there. And Krishna, if we try to approach him with these mundane feelings, or if we don't distinguish between mundane rasa and spiritual rasa, Krishna, he'll see through that. He won't respond. But one who sincerely and earnestly prays to Krishna for his mercy, we'll get there. He'll get there in due course of time. It's always to be understood that what's going on between Krishna and the pure devotee, their spiritual exchanges and emotions, their experiences of love, they're all completely transcendental. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. If we see symptoms of transcendental love in such a person, we can know that's for real. It's all super mundane. That is experienced in the platform of pure loving exchange between Krishna and the purely spiritual beings. Highly elevated topics. That's why it's so important for us to know the difference between this and what appears to be love in this material world. Krishna willing, I'll continue to speak on this in another session. Vancha kalpatarubhya sharkipa sindubhya evacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya chunakam padaya nipatya kritva chakakushatam etad aham bravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charane kurutanu raga parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumukarona vayang vicharayama hari rasama dirama dati mata bhuvi vilotama nartama. Krishna.